Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs 26. I'd like to look at the first verse this morning. I've entitled this message, The Honor Due Him. The honor that is due him. The scripture declares, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. You know, the richest blessings lose their true value when they're beheld in a way that is not according to God's direction, according to that which is not natural, according to God's providence, is what I'm talking about. As snow in summer, that's just not natural. As rain in harvest, according to God's good pleasure, that's not natural and it's harmful. The Lord asked Job, as far as this snow in summer, he said, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" I've seen more snow since I moved here 18 and a half years ago than I ever saw in my life. Snow. Snow is here represented when the Lord asked Job, "Have you entered into the treasures of the snow?" I looked it up and I found out that snow is the wintry covering and preserving of the seed of plants from the killing cold. God has ordained snow. It's got a beautiful purpose. But in summer, it's just out of season. It's just not natural. Man can produce something that looks like snow, you know, and he uses it for man's entertainment, but it doesn't accomplish that man-made snow. It doesn't accomplish the purpose of God's treasure. God sends snow when it's needed. There's a purpose for it. And rain in harvest? Now, rain in its season is needful and it's profitable. We need it. We've got to have it. And in the scriptures, it was revealed to be the evidence of God's providential care for his people. Hold your place. Turn to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Would you listen to this precious, precious blessing. Deuteronomy 11, verse 10 to 14. The Lord speaking to his people through his prophet says, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water as the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and all your spirit, then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. First rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil." That's you know, God's blessing. God sends rain, former, latter, when it's needed, withholds it when it's time of harvest. But rain and harvest, that's a hindrance. It's even been shown in scriptures that rain during that time of harvest is a display of God's displeasure for man's disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 to 19, it was a display of the Lord's disobedience when God sent rain. 1 Samuel 12:16. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you've done in the sight of the Lord, asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sin this evil, to ask us a king. So even in the the withholding of the rain, blessing of God, harvest, God send rain and harvest, it's a picture, his displeasure. So there's some things back in Proverbs that just, it's not natural and can even be harmful. Blessings of the Lord. But also, that latter part, so or even so, honor is not seemly for a fool. As unnatural as snow in summer, as harmful and a hindrance, as rain and harvest, a fool. Honor is not seemly. It's not pleasant. It's not beautiful to a fool. What is the greatest blessing that God bestows upon a people? I heard Brother Henry say this, and I'm just going to say, he said the greatest blessing that God bestows upon a people is for the Lord to send them a preacher to tell them the truth of themselves and the truth concerning God. Why? Why is that the greatest blessing? Because the preaching of the gospel is God's free and sovereign grace in Christ. It is the God-ordained means by which God sends salvation to his people. So let me ask you something. Is it necessary? I had a man tell me one time when I was in Louisiana. He said, you know what? We really don't need a preacher. And I was it. I was the preacher. And he said, we really don't need a preacher. He said, we can all just meet together and read some scripture and sing a few songs. First Corinthians, turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. Now, you know what? Whatever is getting ready to be said, this is what pleases God. It pleased God by the foolishness, or what the world calls foolishness, of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. He said, I will send you pastors after my heart. You think it pleases God to send a pastor? We've got some brethren that right now, there's no pastor there. They're praying. They're seeking the Lord. Ask them. The church in Danville are one of the most faithful men that I've known, right there with Brother Henry, Brother Scott, Brother Don Fortner. Lord, please to take him home. And they're seeking God for a pastor. And when there's not a pastor, it's tough. It's tough. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Listen to what the Lord says. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, you know, these are hard questions, a statement of scriptures. When I'm the one standing here preaching and it's saying what the necessity of a preacher, and I'll say, who's sufficient for these things? That's the first thing I'll say, who's sufficient? But I can tell you this. The necessity of hearing the gospel preached. God, who has ordained salvation for his elect, has ordained the means by which he's going to call them out. You think God, if he chose to do so, could have saved them another way? Well, absolutely. He's God. If that's the way he chose to do it. But he chose preaching. Preaching of the gospel. Please, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm telling you, you men that have stood in pulpits, this is a lonely place. It's a lonely place because you are struggling. Every preacher that tells you he's not struggling is lying to you. Every true preacher, he's lying to you. He struggles. He struggles. He paces before he gets up there, and he just, once he gets in, he's praying, Lord, help me right here. Help me now. So as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly. It's not beautiful for a fool. What do I mean by that? When it comes to the honor that man owes unto God, honor, true honor, when it comes to honor, one who rules in heaven and earth, that God, the glory and acknowledgement of his splendor and the dignity of his being, that honor, the honor of God Almighty, that is not seemly. What does that mean? He has no desire. He sees no reason to give that which is due unto the Lord, that which he is due. Honor. This is his gospel. These are his people. He'd been pleased to raise up an assembly, and it's been here. We've come together today to hear the gospel. This is the gospel that God saved his people through. This is the means. This is it. Pray for it. Pray that God bless it. Pray that the Lord bless the preacher. Pray for the hearing. Pray that God call out his people. The Lord said to his disciples, when you pray, you know, thy kingdom come. You pray, God, call his people unto himself. You think he's going to call them? Yes, he's going to call them. But he said, you pray for that. You pray, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to save them. Look at Isaiah 32:6. Isaiah 32:6. Isaiah 32, it says, the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Now, the vile person. Now, what I've done is, you know me well enough to know what I'm about to say. I looked this up. I looked up the vile person. I want to know what it means. Here's what it is. The vile person. The stupid. The stupid. The wicked fool or foolish one. It's from a root word that means to wilt, to fail, or fall away. The vile person. Now, this is talking about that fool that gives or has no desire for the honor of God. His honor. His honor. The vile person will speak villainy. Folly. He'll speak folly. He'll speak wickedness. Or listen to this. A crime. It's a crime, kneel against God, for a man to stand in a pulpit and tell somebody something that's not so, that doesn't give all the honor and the glory and the praise to the Lord. It's a crime. It's a crime. Someone might say, well, why do you make such a big deal against, you know, that which is not the gospel, man's free will? Why do you? Because God does. The Lord does. He'll speak villainy. He has no understanding of the gospel, and therefore he can't and won't deliver it. He won't do it. He doesn't have a heart for it. He'll speak concerning the goodwill of man and man's ability to reconcile himself back to God by his own free will decision and self-righteous works. But the Lord denounced that. Titus 3:5. You know. Let me just read it. Titus 3:5. I want us to hear this again. Now listen. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness. Is it necessary for us to tell men over and over and over, not by works of righteousness which we've done? It gives honor unto the Lord when we say, but according to his mercy, he saved us and washed us in his own blood. The scripture back in Isaiah 32, it says, the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity. His heart will work iniquity. He will exert himself in that which will come to nothing but trouble. That's what it means. His heart will work iniquity. Doing that which is unjust. He'll promote morality. Morality, but morality that's based on the works of man is self-righteousness, is what that is. And he's doing this to practice hypocrisy. That is, profane ungodliness and moral filth, wickedness. Showing himself to be something when he's actually nothing. And then it says, and to utter error against the Lord. His heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord. To speak in a destructive and wandering sense that has no reference or respect for Jehovah. He'll teach doctrine that's contrary to the truth of God's free and sovereign grace, to the honor that of Almighty God, in that truth that salvation is altogether of the Lord. And then lastly, in that sixth verse of Isaiah 32, it says, to make empty the soul of the hungry, he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. He'll not set forth that which alone can satisfy the need of a needy sinner, hearing of the bread of heaven and of him who is the fountain of living water. Honor. God's honor, back in Proverbs 26:1. Honor, the honor of God is not seemly, fitting, suitable, beautiful for a fool, a self-confident fool. And one other question I've got. How does one know if he's sitting under a fool? Or if he's sinning under a man sent of God? Who gets the honor? Where's the honor? Where is the honor? I'd like to finish up this message. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. And I just want to read few verses here and we're going to stop. Malachi 1. Now let's hear what God has to say about honor. And I'll tell you this. Honor is given unto the Lord when the Lord is honored. When he's glorified, when he's praised. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 to 8. Verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? The Lord asked these false prophets, these preachers that were not giving him honor. He said, a son honoreth his father. You know, honor is due and to be given by a child to his father, his mother, his parents. Servants are to honor, give reverence, be respectful and obedient to their bosses. Well, the Lord said, I'm a father. The Lord is our heavenly Father. He's the master of all men. He said, where's my honor? Where is my honor? And in keeping with the context of our scripture, when the Lord calls out these priests, he said that you've despised my name. What does that mean? You have held in contempt, or you have counted my word worthless. That's what you've done. You've despised my name. And they asked, they said, wherein, verse 7, wherein have we polluted thee? Wherein have we despised? You know, his answer is sure. He said, you offer, verse 8, you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is that not evil? Now let me ask you something. The sacrifices that were given, who did they picture? Who did they picture? You know this. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you've despised my name. How have we despised your name? He said, you've offered bringing to the altar polluted, soiled, defiled, stained bread. And they said, you know, wherein have we polluted thee? Why do you say the table of the Lord is contemptible? Why do you say that, Lord? Why do you say that it's disesteemed? He says in verse 8, he said, and you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? And you offer the lame and sick, the weak. Is that not evil? Now, In closing, let me just ask this question. Is that not the offering set forth from every pulpit where the gospel of God's sovereign grace is not preached? Is that not the offering that's being set forth? They're setting forth. They say, I'm preaching Christ. But they're preaching Christ, they say, that wants to save you if you'll let him. If you'll let him, the Lord's done all he could do. He hung on the cross and died for everybody's sin. Now it's up to you. Where have we despised your name? You offer that which is blind and lame and sick and can't do anything? It's not you. That's what you're offering? Let me tell you something. The God of this world, the God of this universe, I'm talking about the Lord himself, not the prince of the world. I'm not talking about Satan. I'm talking about God. God Almighty. He's God. And we don't offer one that is lame and blind and sick and can't accomplish that which he will. The God that we worship is the God that does as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He's got a people, and he's going to save them. He's going to save them. And the way that he's going to save them is through the proclamation of his honor, of his glory, and the glory of his precious son. That's how God's going to save them. And we don't offer the sickly sacrifice. So in our passage, when it says, honor is not seemly to the fool, that means the glory and majesty and praise that's due unto the Lord of glory is not becoming. It's not praiseworthy for a fool, but for everyone that God's called out of darkness. Let me tell you what their attitude is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And aren't you glad? Am I not glad? That's able to do according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. As snow in summer and rain in harvest. That's just not natural, not productive. It's harmful. So is honor not seemly to a fool. But God has been pleased, according to his infinite grace and mercy, he'd been pleased to call out some people out of darkness. And he's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel, but not the preaching of the lame and the sickly and the weak, through him who's able. I pray God bless this to our heart for his glory and our good. Amen. All right.